So Fairbrook, Chapel, Bowles, Whitney, Blessing. You open your Bibles, with the least of the Gospel of John. Chapter. Chapter 1 is easy, eternal word. In chapter 2, he changes water into wine. In chapter 3 is teacher, come from God, and he seeks your soul and mine. In 5, he is a doctor, and 6, the living bread, and 7, he is the water, and 8, makes in white those scarlet bread. In 9, he dispels the darkness and gives the blind their sight. In 10, the good kind shepherd, 11, resurrection night. In 12, we shout Hosanna, but there we find the King. In 13, he teaches us how to serve, and in 14, how to sing. In 15, there the vine is he, and in 16, the world is overcome. In 17, he kneels to pray for me. In 18, the judgment has begun. In 19, he's my Savior, hanging on a tree. In 20, he leaves behind an empty tomb. In 21, a victory. The Lord Jesus, it says in John chapter 1, was the Word, and the Word became flesh. What happens when the Word becomes flesh? Have you ever seen the Word become flesh? As a matter of fact, every time we believe and do God's Word, it becomes flesh. And here we see the Word at work in John chapter 9, verse 4. Listen to the Word talk about what it is for the Word to become flesh. Verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We as evangelicals are well versed in the fact that we're not saved by works. The rest of the world somehow thinks they have to earn it, and we did also one time, and one day our eyes were opened and we saw the futility, because no one could ever be good enough or know that they were good enough. They would go all of their life trying and struggling to please a God they cannot see. So 2,000 years ago, God Almighty in his wisdom devised for us a plan and a way that we might be with him forever. But make no mistake about it. Real faith has feet, and real faith works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of yours, lest any man should boast. But if we keep reading, it says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. And sometimes, if it works, that's Jesus talks about it here, and he shows us. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I must, that's the obligation of the work, the works, that's the application of the word. Him that sent me, that's the consecration of the word. While it is day, that's the illumination of the word. The night cometh, that's the motivation of the word. When no man can work, that's the culmination of the word. I must, That's the obligation of the Word. One day you open the Word, and like Bartimaeus for the first time, you saw the light. Jesus says in the next verse, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. One day I saw the light like you did, and you're here today because of that. You know him whom to know is life eternal. And it begins always with light. And God first spoke in creation. That's the first thing he said. That was his first order. He said, let there be light. And one day I opened this book, and suddenly the scale was fell from my eyes, and they fell from yours, and you saw what you never saw. I see something interesting here in this verse, watching the Word work in the world and in my life and your life. It says here in verse 4, I must. That's the obligation. My Brazilian friend who was here years ago was pulled over by the state highway patrol in New Jersey for speeding. The officer said, can't you read the sign? Do you see the sign, the speed limit? He said, I thought that was a suggestion. No, it wasn't a suggestion. There are certain things in the Bible that God makes clear to us, as clear as a burning bush or a natal star in the dark of night that leads us to the truth. And God Almighty is saying, you must. And here in John, I see three musts. The first I see here, right in front of me, I must work the works of him that sent me. John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then, just a few verses later, John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. Christianity works when all of the moving parts are moving. The first is salvation. You must be born again. It's not a suggestion. It's an absolutely clear obligation in order to be with God and to find the remedy for the problems of your life and the problems of the world around you. You must be born again. That's salvation. And salvation is not the finish line. Salvation is the starting block. It's where we begin. And then it moves on to the second must. John saw it. John realized it. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. Because Christianity is Christ in you, working both the will and to do his good pleasure. And then the third must is found here in John 9, where salvation is at work. Working. It's working. First is salvation, the second is sanctification, and the third is service. They go together to make the thing work. Saul of Tarsus thought he understood what salvation was all about, so much so in his religion, in his religiosity, that he was persecuting the very church of God. There on the Damascus Road, he was knocked from his high horse and came to his senses, and there a personage beyond which his imagination could never even comprehend. He has a vision of the resurrected Savior. He asks the first question, who art thou? And the answer shakes him to his core. The answer was, I am Jesus. And if Jesus was not dead, if Jesus was alive, it changed everything. so the world still needs to see a resurrected Savior in your life and in my life that changes everything. Art thou? And the answer was Jesus. If you get that wrong, everything else is wrong. You're on course. You never hit the target. Neither is there salvation in any other, but there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No, there's no other. Even John himself, who became a little anxious when Jesus didn't appear to be making Israel great again, asked, "Are you he, or do we look for another?" Jesus didn't come to make Israel great again. Jesus came to save sinners from their sin. Salvation, sanctification, service. First question was, who are you? Who art thou? Jesus, he's a lie. I thought you were an urban legend. I thought you were a figment of people's imagination. No, he's a lie. And I'm going to go on record this morning to remind everyone here that Jesus is a lie. But then the second question comes quickly on the heels of the first, and that is, if Jesus is a lie, and he is, the second question Paul asks was, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? The first is the who of salvation, and the second is the do of salvation. What do you want me to do? When Yvette gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ, she read in the Word of God that she should follow the Lord's word and command and instructions in baptism, and she was baptized. After the who comes the do. And then she went to the Pope minister and said, now what? And he reached into his drawer and he pulled out the drawer. He pulled out a little booklet, pamphlet, with a bunch of paragraphs in there and in questions and blanks. He said, read this and fill out the blanks. And Yvette, who was sweet and humble, said to him with all due respect, I don't wanna fill in the blanks. I wanna know what God wants me to do. And a lot of Christians spend their life with books under their arms, filling in the blanks, and they never get around to doing what God asks them to do. I must, that's the obligation. Work the works, that's the application. It doesn't work unless you apply it. It doesn't work unless you do it. And that's to obey God's word, to obey God's commandments. And you can do anything God asks you to do. If you're Peter and you're in the boat and Jesus says, come, you can walk on water. Now, if he doesn't say come, I suggest you stay in the boat. If you open this book of books and the Spirit of God leads you to a burning bush, take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground. And say like Samuel in the temple den, speak, Lord, thy servant here. Or bow with a humble heart like Mary and say, be it unto me according to thy word. You can do anything God asks you to do. For with God, nothing is impossible. I must, that's the obligation, work the works, that's the application of him that sent me, that's the consecration. We have been commissioned and consecrated by God to go out into a sin-cursed world and we need worry about nothing because we're on a holy errand to do God's will. While it is day, that's the illumination. The night cometh, that's the motivation. Time's running out for somebody. We were in Pittsburgh during COVID. Mike Thomas told us when the governor said, stay put. Shelter in place. He called us and said, hey, we have a mess here. We need some help. Can you help? How soon can you come? He said, 4 hours. We locked up the house for 3 months. We moved to Pittsburgh to help. We met a wonderful, sweet lady there. Some of you might know her, Suzanne. She told us the story of how she met her husband in World War II. As a GI was moving across the battlefields of France, he was looking for a place to break bread. He found this little village where a group of believers were gathering around to break bread and remember the Lord on Sunday morning in the middle of World War II. And a young girl was there and caught his eye. He came back the next week. They were still bivouacked or somewhere near in the midst of the war. He said, war or no war, I'm going to remember the Lord. And they met in this small village, and they had a little date, kind of a little date, where they kind of got together and sat on the side there. People were all still around. And the date went like this. Dan said to Suzanne, I'll tell you how I got saved. And then you tell me how you got saved. Wow. I can't think of a better way to start a relationship. You're here this morning because somebody told somebody, somebody told you. Don't let it stop there. We must work the works of him that sent us while it is day, the night cometh, but no man can work. Who art thou? Jesus. What do you want me to do? I know he wants you to do something. This week, do it. Father, thank you for some great salvation. Thank you for letting us be a part of the family of God. I pray you bless each one here. They may become excited about service, serving you, serving others. And I pray that there's someone here who has not yet come to that place where they have a story of being born again, that they might paradox of the cross and the importance of putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who is the only Savior from sin. It's each one here for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.